This podcast is brought to you by eRadio. For more podcasts, check out our website on eradiosa.com or download the eRadio SA app from the Google Play Store. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Tech Show, where we talk about the latest and greatest tech news every single week, same time, same place, with myself, Kane, and Eon. How are you doing today?
Hello, Kane. Good, thanks. And you? It feels like summer's finally here.
Man, it arrived
hey, do you think
with
this
a vengeance.
Is it?
This is it. I mean, I hope
this is it. A bit late. So do you think we're just going to skip spring and just go right into summer now, or what?
I think something that really sets the tone on how the climate is at the moment is it feels really hot today. But just a few weeks ago, it was snowing in Durban.
Yeah, you know, just a couple of days ago, we were sitting here with heaters and stuff.
Right? Yeah, in the dark.
What the heck? You know, Okay, so obviously here on Tech Plus, we talk about, if you're new to the show, we talk about all the latest tech stories and what happened this week. Just all over the show, not just in South Africa, but all over the world. But, you know, we probably have to start in South Africa this week.
Work our way out.
Yeah, and work our way out. You know, the big story this week was StarSat.
Now, I heard about that.
Okay, so this all went down on Wednesday. So now we just picture the StarSat headquarters in Midrand. That's in Gauteng. And so it's just another day at the office, and everybody's there and doing their jobs, and you know, just hunting on. And yeah, it's the day barely started. It was just after 9 a.m. And then I don't even think they knocked.
There was one knock, maybe.
Maybe there was a knock, or maybe that was just when they kicked the door down. And boom, the communications authority showed up at StarSat along with the police.
And they weren't just there to communicate.
And they said, guys, we warned you. We told you. You don't have a license. You didn't renew it on time. It's time to turn this shit down.
And they just turned it off.
And they switched everything off. They took everything. They didn't just disconnect it. They took everything from satellite dishes to big screens to other broadcasting equipment.
That's
and
wild.
Servers. They took servers as well. And then, you know, meanwhile, the subscribers were just sitting at home and watching TV and having a good time. And all of a sudden, gone.
I can't even imagine having being someone who could have been watching TV and seen it go black and then heard like all this happened. Like, oh, wow, they really got shut down.
Yeah, but I saw, you know, nobody saw it coming, because up until that moment, StarSat told people, no, it's not true. They're not closing and they're here to stay. And they even made new sales and sold new decoders and dishes to people. And, you know, people were just unaware, only found out a couple of hours later. They just thought it was a signal problem, because apparently that's also quite common, you know. The signal goes down occasionally. Meanwhile, all the equipment has been loaded into a bucky or two of ICASA, and they drove away with it. And the one guy at StarSat, he was very upset. I think the marketing guy there, he said he's actually quite worried, because he feels that the people they sent weren't qualified to disconnect those things. And he saw them causing damage to the equipment. They ripped it out. You know, it wasn't a nice, gentle
crazy,
way.
Man.
You know, some of those things are quite sensitive,
you
know.
We can't lose our respect for ourselves.
Yeah, it's specialized equipment. So they ripped it out, ripped all the cords. I think they someone took his computer as well. They took everything. I think they even took their computers. They really took everything.
I think their mistake was trying to have a, you know, a chess match with the government, basically.
Yeah.
And saying, you say you're going to shut us down, but we're not shutting down.
Yeah.
You just taunted them.
Yeah, but you can't. It's very irresponsible because you've got stakeholders and a lot of people to keep happy. You've got advertisers on those TV channels. You've got deals with channels abroad showing their channels, supplying you here with their channel, you know. You can't gamble with these things, you know. It's a license. So they were operating, I think, for almost a year illegally, and that was the last straw, and then the authority came and closed them down. And obviously brought the police.
It is kind of funny how they put their hands in the air after a year of like breaking the law.
Yeah, I think that's quite a long time to get away with it.
There must be some kind of disagreement.
But what do you think Starsat's doing now? Obviously they're not accepting defeat.
Stressing.
They're stressing, but they're heading to the courts. They're trying to get an interdict and all that kind of stuff. They're using all the best attorneys, apparently. And in the meantime, they're putting out a message to their subscribers to please be patient. Thank you for your understanding. And they looking at the potential of refunds, because people obviously paid for a month and now they can't watch anything.
That's crazy, eh?
I think that was quite a dramatic story here in South Africa this week. And I feel for the people at Starsat, because apparently just after this happened, or while it was happening and people were carrying stuff out, it was quite traumatic for them, and they actually formed a prayer circle.
Whoa!
Kate's face. Yo, I wish this was a TV channel.
What a time to whip that out.
They whipped out a prayer circle and they just started praying, but it didn't work because they took everything. It didn't give them a license, so yeah.
That is wild. I mean, if that didn't work, nothing was going to work.
So yes, our thoughts and prayers with the Starsat people, and also even with the subscribers who depend on that as companionship, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the entertainment. Maybe they save it up for that, you know. So
we can you imagine DSTV on the sideline being like,
winning? Just couldn't have asked for more at this point. And I mean, speaking of DSTV, apparently we've got some partnerships with Capitec. So DSTV and Capitec, or MultiChoice and Capitec, have announced a partnership that will give the bank's customers access to discounted DSTV stream plans. A media report about the partnership was published yesterday following remarks by Capitec's CEO. Among other things, the CEO stated that Capitec's new DSTV stream vouchers would allow customers to buy access to specific programs or channels. My Broadband has learned that this was an incorrect characterization, of which the companies are launching in October. So Capitec will offer significantly discounted vouchers for specific DSTV stream packages, including DSTV Premium. DSTV is not launching a prepaid pay-per-view model. So that's pretty interesting, I think, that you can pay for your DSTV via Capitec. That's really being in there with the bank.
Yes, and also this Capitec app, we spoke about it last time, or a couple of weeks ago, how amazing this app is, actually. And you know, you've got it, I've got it, and it just keeps getting better. There's always an update, and then you see, now you can do this, now you can do
that.
The
updates are very frequent.
And it's a beautiful app, easy to use.
Comparing the Capitec app to some of the other apps, I definitely see a lot more updates on the Capitec app more frequently.
Mm.
I think Capitec was actually one of the first that I saw. I went into my Capitec app while I was on a phone call, and it's like, beware! You know, don't be on phone calls.
Yeah, basically basically it's saying that the person you're speaking to is not a verified Capitec person, so it could be a fraud or spam call.
Which is crazy, because they can tell what number you're on a phone call with by entering.
Yeah, but I actually don't mind it,
No, don't.
Because it can save you. So a lot of people, you know, fall victim to it. Yeah,
I agree. Especially like when you get your MTN scammers and some of those, especially with the older generation, it can be incredibly challenging. We also have some other news on the DSTV password sharing. Right? I don't know if you share passwords. I do.
No, not DSTV.
DSTV, I mean, DSTV should be the one you share. I mean, if you're sharing Netflix passwords, but each individually have your own DSTV account, you're doing it wrong. You know, you're just like, you're doing it totally wrong.
You're doing it wrong.
You need to share the right passwords to save money. But apparently, South African subscribers can share their legitimate DSTV login credentials with other users without concerns about contravening any laws. The practice is even permitted explicitly under the service's terms and conditions, albeit with some important exceptions. MultiChoice has intensified its crackdown on pirate streaming services in the past few months, leading to several raids and arrests. In its latest success, law enforcement officers working with MultiChoice anti-party team raided, or anti-piracy team raided an outlet allegedly involved in the distribution of illegal login credentials that allegedly allowed unauthorized access to premium content. Officers arrested an individual involved with the operation and charged them with offenses under the Copyright Act and Cyber Crime Act of 2020. MultiChoice did not mention that the login credentials were not for its own service. That could have been created the impression that it was for pushing individuals for sharing legitimate DSTV login credentials. So people were basically scraping DSTV logins and selling them and sharing them and all that sort of stuff. So they cracked down on that. But password sharing in general is actually allowed on DSTV. Like, you should be you're allowed to share it with your friends and family. You're not allowed to put it online and just let everybody who sees it access it.
But you don't have to be in the same house.
No.
Okay, cool.
So it doesn't seem like they have any password crackdown related laws. Kind of like our Netflix friends, though. They love
that password
sharing crackdown. Mm-hmm. They started this whole problem for us.
Yep.
So that'll be interesting. And then apparently there's a launch plan, potentially, or a plan to allow Starlink to launch in South Africa. The communications minister, Solly Malatsi, has announced a plan that would open a door for Elon Musk's SpaceX to launch its satellite broadband service, Starlink, in South Africa. Malatsi has said he intends to issue a policy directly to the Independent Communications Authority, or the ICASA.
Whoa.
They're a bit busy at the moment, though. Of South Africa regarding the equity equivalent programs for urgent considerations. This is part of an initiative to significantly expand access to broadband connectivity to poor South Africans and people living in remote parts of the country. Although the minister did not name Starlink specifically, it is an open industry secret that South Africa's ownership equity laws have discouraged SpaceX from launching its broadband services locally. Yeah, that's absolutely true. So, you know, it's a tough place for us to be, because we want to maintain those provisions, but someone like SpaceX just can't, you know, can't integrate something like Starlink here in South Africa. But hopefully we can create a roadmap for that, because I think the benefits outweigh the costs here. Getting everybody connected with broadband connectivity versus not having them connected because we didn't want to allow an operator to operate isn't the right answer. Yeah, it isn't the right answer, especially when we don't have a natural competitor. It makes no sense to deny an international company to operate in South Africa without that country having a national competitor to even have a monopoly problem with it.
Exactly.
So definitely going to be paying attention to that one and see how that plans out. And then we also have a pretty interesting comparison. Would you think that Amazon.co.za or Amazon South Africa is cheaper than Amazon.com? I'm sure you've thought, if you've been shopping on Amazon, you've thought about it. If you haven't shopped on Amazon, well, now you have a conundrum, because you could buy from Amazon.com, which is the international Amazon, or Amazon.co.za, which is the South Africa Amazon. So what happens when something on Amazon.com is cheaper than something on Amazon.co.za?
I've actually heard that that happened a couple of times. Is it possible?
Have you ever bought from Amazon.com, the international Amazon?
Yeah.
And not you've imported into South Africa?
Yes.
I actually bought some stuff from Temu the other day.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
You finally joined the Temu train.
Yeah, I want to see if it arrives.
And did it arrive?
It has not yet.
Okay, give it 7 weeks, okay?
72 weeks. You're doing 2 to 7 weeks? No, 72 weeks.
Jeez.
But I'm pretty sure it'll come through.
We'll be in time for Christmas. Are we allowed to know what you bought?
I think I bought it last week, and it said it'll arrive on the 10th. It was quite a while. I bought some soundproofing foam for the studio.
Okay.
And I think something for the dogs, like a little treat or something.
Just
like that.
Just to see if it rocks
but
out.
But I must tell you, these guys do not joke around with their coupons and stuff. I have
all those pop-ups,
been bombarded with these things.
You have been selected.
I launched this app and it's like, would you like a coupon? I'm like, yeah, I'd like a coupon.
I think there's a little wheel.
It's like, would you like to spin? And I'm like, okay, I'd spin. And I see there's up to 4,000 rands in coupons. Where does it land? On the 4,000 rand from coupons. So I'm scheming, wow,
you
I just
don't
got 4,000 rands worth of coupons. Man, I have 4,000 coupons. I have like 600 rand off if I spend 1,200 and 400 rand off if I spend this much. So they gave me 4,000 rands worth of coupons for that.
They're very generous.
But also when I launched, they gave me 60 seconds to buy up to 5 random things to activate this coupon. Just random items.
I told you that app is so persistent. I hope you switched off the notifications because you're going to get some while you're busy sleeping.
Yeah, and then
we know you're sleeping, but if you do it now.
Non-stop notifications. So then I ended up getting that 4,000 rands worth of like coupons. I don't even know how. You'll probably have to spend 100,000 rand to use them all.
Yeah, but then it's a catch.
Then it activated again. So now I have 8,000 rand worth of coupons. I was like, can you just do this infinitely? Just have like infinite 600 rand off 1,800 rand purchases.
It's this marketing thing that they're doing. They kind of make you feel special, like you've been selected out of millions.
And I get spinning wheels in works, my email, you know? And I get
makes
so
you feel
many
special.
Things.
Did you feel special?
I did. It made me came back and buy a second item. I was like, see, maybe I'm missing something. Let me try again.
But they're so persistent, those people. I mean, they even email you.
I know. I think I ended up buying three different
and
orders.
Don't do not under any circumstances leave anything in your cart. And then don't check out because they will remind you.
They will let you know.
And eventually they'll send it to you for free. That's how
great
they
business
are.
Model.
Yo.
Man, I see those ads all the time online. They're like, did you know you can get this for free on Takealot? And I mean on Temu, and it would just that would be the ad. Okay, next up we're taking a look at some other things as well. The CEO of OpenAI, the creators of ChatGPT, recently removed their CTO. Their CTO left, their chief technical officer, and Sam Altman has reportedly announced that they're not planning to hire any new chief technical officer anytime soon. They said at an all-hands meeting last week, Altman told employees the company is not looking to replace Mira or Maratini in the CTO role for now, according to a person familiar with the matter. What does that mean? Well, it's pretty strange to have a CTO step down or in any capacity leave or be fired or whatever the case may be and to not fill that position. But because it's OpenAI, the first thing I thought to myself is, yep, they managed to replace her job with AI, 100%.
Yeah.
They're like, bye, like the first job we get to replace, yes, the CTO position. And I'm pretty sure AI would actually do a pretty good job of that with the right training, but that's just one note there with OpenAI. We also have some other news as well. Europe approves a new tariff on Chinese electric vehicles. So this is always quite interesting because, you know, Elon Musk actually has a factory, a Tesla factory in China. You know, that's quite interesting. He actually did a lot of partnerships with the strategic partnerships with China. So I would even argue that some of Tesla's success can be attributed to the fact that Elon was able to become a distributor in China with, you know, quite a large amount of tax breaks and all sorts of other kind of incentives as well. But apparently Europe has approved new tariffs on Chinese EVs. The European Union's tariffs won't be as high as the ones recently approved by the Biden administration in the US. However, that's 45% versus 100%, but the vote makes it clear the Western nations are maintaining their hard line on China's willingness to subsidize the auto industry and service for churning out ultra-cheap electric vehicles.
Listen here.
I'm listening.
Can I just say, Teslas are ridiculously ugly.
I love the Cybertruck. You take that back.
Dude, they're so ugly, man. It's just no character. It's okay, like all just square, and it just looks like it was, I don't know, put into a compressor or something.
Without risking assassination by the audience, I'd go so far as it reminds me of a Toyota Taz. It really does. Like a really Cybertruck-y truck version of a... Because of the angles, it's just so square.
But now, unfortunately, I have to burst your bubble because Tesla is recalling more than 27,000 Cybertrucks.
What's wrong? Window won't go up. Okay.
What was wrong the last time? Because now
the door wouldn't close, I think.
Oh, yes, you're right.
The door would close but not open again.
Because the rear view camera image may not activate immediately after shifting into reverse. So you could crash into something if you rely on that.
Imagine having to send your car back so that the camera can be fixed.
This marks the fifth recall for the vehicle since it went on sale late last year. Fifth. In June, there was a recall to fix problems with trim pieces that come loose and front windshield wipers that fall off while you're driving. Come on, Elon. Where did you guys get these parts? And just before that, there were also some Cybertrucks recalled because the accelerator pedal could stick. Oh, no, that's... I'm not driving that thing, sorry.
That's
not good.
Yeah, what did I see the other day? I saw a video of a golf cart going down a golf course. Its brakes had failed.
Dude, this actually happened here in near George, eh?
Really?
No, near Mossel Bay, sorry.
How bad? You could just get absolutely
destroyed.
Yeah, I
saw that. So they were really injured, hey? It was quite seriously injured.
What would you do if you're going down a golf... Like, if you're on a golf course and your brakes aren't
working... Can you not jump out?
I mean, it's going pretty fast. You're going to
I would just jump out anyway. I'm not waiting for the crash, man. I'm not waiting for the crash unless you're going into a dam.
It's kind of like saying, choose what stops your fall or let it choose what stops
your fall. If you just jump out, you know, you'll just hurt a bit and have like a bruised knee or something. Yeah, I'm not going to wait till we crash into something. What would you do? Would you just sit and wait for the crash?
Oh, I don't know. I would probably do something ridiculous, like try and... I don't know what I would do. I'd probably end up jumping out or just getting on the roof of it or something.
No, you're still going to crash.
It might end in tragedy. My escape method might be worse than just letting it go wherever it goes.
Yeah, exactly. But shame, man. I hope those people recover soon. I don't know how... I've never seen a golf cart with brakes that fail.
I can't imagine. It's quite weird. It's a good situation. It's not a very soft object to break your fall. Not at all. So here's something super interesting. Have you ever wondered what a fly's brain might look like?
Jesus, like...
Do you even, till this day, consider that a fly even has a brain?
They don't act like they do.
I wouldn't think it's a brain.
No, probably just like a little dot or something. Like, I don't know.
Two neurons next to each other just turn on and off.
Their eyes are bigger than their brain, man.
40 eyes and four of them are brains or something.
But they actually have a brain.
Turns out it's pretty neat. After a decade of work, scientists have mapped out all 140,000 neurons of a fruit fly's brain. The pictures are pretty sick, and scientists hope to use the fly's brain map to figure out how bigger brains might work. And that just reminded me that we have no idea how the brain actually works. How crazy is that?
Well, here's a message for all the flies. Can you just use your brain and stay away from my apple pie? In summer.
I think they're using their brain to find the apple pie. I think that's the problem there. All
true
four
story.
Neurons are being utilized there. But it's crazy. I mean, I'm looking at the picture of this fly's brain, and it is actually quite the visual sight. I wouldn't think a fly had a...
It's amazing, hey?
Such a significant architecture. I mean, 140,000 neurons on a fly. Can you just imagine
the
cognitive ability of a human being? It's insane.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane.
It is.
You can fit probably 100 flies in 1/100th of the brain.
Yeah, wow.
So it's actually pretty crazy.
I just wish people would use their brains more, you know. use all of it, not just one
sometimes
part.
We simulate having a fly's brain, you know. But definitely a very cool image. I'll see if I can get the image for you. Check, that's the brain over there. You can't really see it so well, but...
Oh my word.
It's crazy.
Oh, that's amazing.
There's a lot going on in there.
Yeah.
For a
fly. I thought it was a little speck. Wow.
No, it's actually quite the...
It's quite complex.
And it's tiny to actually go about... Imagine I told you, I'll give you any amount of money. You map out these 140 odd thousand neurons in this little fly's brain here that's sitting on my fingernail. You
no
would be
way.
Like, there's no... Where do I
there's
begin?
No way, yeah.
How do you even begin doing something like that?
Exactly. So,
that is just... I think that's a good note to go to a music break.
Absolutely. And we're back with Tech Plus on this warm Saturday. If you just joined us, hello to you and welcome. We hope you're enjoying it with us and finding it informative. So, Kane, what's next?
Next up, we're taking a look at the price comparison between some things you can buy here on Amazon South Africa and some things you can buy in Amazon US to see what's cheaper and what's not. But before we begin, Eon, what do you think is cheaper, Amazon.co.za or Amazon.com?
Well, that's the thing. I've heard that Amazon.com can still be cheaper than South Africa, but then you've got the import taxes. So is it not equal?
That's what I'm wondering. You know, what's going to be the overall difference? You know, I was thinking, when I was going into this, I was thinking, sure, you know, how good is it going to be? What can we expect? But let's take a look at it and let's get into it. So My Broadband did this particular pricing comparison for 10 tech products common to both Amazon marketplaces and found that South African residents will generally get lower pricing when ordering through the local marketplace. However, there are exceptions. For example, it's still cheaper to buy a Razer Balisk V3 gaming mouse, a Nintendo Switch Lite, and a Samsung Galaxy Z Flip 6 through the US store and have shipped it to South Africa. Although products ordered from the US take significantly longer to deliver, the wait times aren't excessive, with the longest being around 14 days.
But they got to make the South African one more attractive, otherwise we can just wait a bit longer and get something for cheaper.
I know, but wait for when you see what the South African prices are, okay? So we've got a few different items here. We've got a Naomi Mi Box S, so that's your smart TV box. It goes for about 1,450 on Amazon.co.za and 2,000 Rand on Amazon.com. So that's a 500 Rand saving right there.
Exactly.
You've got the Samsung Galaxy A25. That's a 128 gigabyte 5G phone going for 4,000 Rand on Amazon.co.za and 4,800 Rand on Amazon.com. That's an 800 Rand saving. The Nintendo Switch Lite is 4,500 Rand in South Africa and 4,000 Rand on Amazon.com, the international one. So you're going to lose about 500 Rand buying here in South Africa, but save about 500 Rand if you go buy the US one. Then one of my favorite headphones, I'm sure you know these headphones, these are the Sony WH-1000 MX5s. Or XM5, should I say.
Sounds familiar.
They're about 7,000 Rand in South Africa, which is an incredible price, actually. Or about 9,000 Rand from Amazon.co.za. That's almost a 2,000 Rand saving. That's a lot. That is a lot. We also have things like a Samsung's 32-inch M7 4K monitor going for 7,800 in South Africa. And a 16,000 Rand on Amazon.com. So, I mean, that's a savings and a half. 32-inch 4K monitor. Flippin' 9,000 Rand savings almost. Not bad at all. Asus ROG Ally, 8,000 Rand in South Africa. 11,200 Rand Amazon.com. And then you have the Asus X1100 ROG Rapture Wi-Fi 6 gaming router. 10,000 Rand in South Africa. 8,300 Rand in international Amazon. And last but not least, a Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra 256 gig is 25,200 Rand in South Africa and 27,000 Rand 500 on Amazon.com. And the Z Flip equivalent, Z Flip 6, 26,000 Rand in South Africa and a whopping 21,000 Rand for Amazon International. So
you got to do your homework before you buy something, because you can't say for certain. It depends on what you buy.
Yeah, so out of the 10 objects, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 were cheaper in South Africa with a same-day delivery most of the time, and 4 were not cheaper in South Africa.
Okay.
But you do get a few items that are cheaper on Amazon.com, but you are going to wait more than 7 to 9 business days usually for that item to arrive. So you got to kind of weigh your options. I would definitely say that, you know, for that 4K monitor, saving 9,000 Rand and waiting an extra week or two, I would do that without a doubt. Saving 4,000 Rand, almost 5,000 Rand on a Samsung Galaxy Z Flip buying at the international Amazon, would definitely do that. And then finally, you know, the gaming router, you maybe save 1,500 Rand, not too bad. But all in all, South Africa actually represented pretty well in some tech prices. I'm glad. I'm glad we're not getting overcharged here in South Africa.
Mm.
I'm glad that it is actually cheaper. It gives me hope. At least I know I'm getting good deals compared to international.
Hey, did you hear about the geomagnetic storm?
No.
Kane, you must please be careful, eh?
What could happen? What happened?
So from 2 o'clock yesterday until about Monday morning, our planets will have G1 to G3 strength, minor to strong geomagnetic storms due to two X flares that the sun released this week. And what this could mean is if you're using satellites for tracking, radios to communicate, or any radio devices, and they're playing up, this could likely be because of the geomagnetic storm.
Kicking Starsat while they're down there.
I'm just wondering, would this affect the two people that are stuck in space?
Oh, yeah. Will they have
a nice fireworks show, or what? What will they see?
That's terrifying.
I know that the thingy that's supposed to go and fetch them landed successfully at the ISS, at the
International. Oh, really?
Yeah. So, you know, their seats are ready, that, but now they got to wait till February.
Why?
And I think the lady, Cindy Williams, yeah, she said it's a new happy place up there in space. I was like, she's just saying that.
She's lost
come
her
on.
Marbles.
I think she's lost gone. It, yeah.
She's a few pitfork short of a barn.
I think. I think she's now officially an alien.
Well, she's been sitting in space. She hasn't even been on Earth for 4 months. I mean,
she's an alien. She's like, what else?
Aliens
what else
live
would you
on,
call it?
Aliens are the grandest things that don't live on Earth.
Yeah.
And they haven't lived on Earth for 4 months.
When, now when she comes back next year in February, she's going to probably say stuff like, phone home.
She's probably going to be like, I want to go under the ocean next. You know?
Jeez, man, please never ever do that again.
The only sad thing about going to space and really enjoying it is it's not easy to get back. You know, it's not like, oh, I just want to go back. I don't think you would want to after being
there. I can't believe it's so tricky, yeah.
How are you even going to walk? So remember the Meta Ray-Bans? Our good old AI glasses.
Yes, yes.
Yes. So now you can use the glasses to remind you to make a phone call or even where you parked your car. So Meta is bringing reminders to its Ray-Ban smart glasses, a feature it previewed during its Connect event last month. With the update, you can ask Meta AI to remember your surroundings, like where you parked, and even time up reminders to make a phone call. The other features coming with the update include the ability to send and record voice messages on WhatsApp or Messenger without talking out your phone, and you can also ask Meta AI to scan your QR codes or call phone numbers that you come across too. Meta is also updating how to invoke Meta AI while wearing the sunglasses. Instead of saying, hey Meta, before each question, you now only need to say, hey Meta, for your first question and then ask any additional questions without the prompt. You also no longer have to tell Meta AI to look and when you're asking about something else. So you don't have to actually, you can just say instructions basically back to back and it can understand it basically. And Meta's AI assistant is currently only available in the US and Canada. You can access the new features by updating the Meta View app on iOS and Android to version 186, which started rolling out on Wednesday. Along with this update, Meta revealed it has limited edition translucent Ray-Bans that have already sold out online, but still may be available in stores. It's been almost 1 year since the launch of the $299 or 4,000, 5,000 rand-ish Meta Ray-Ban glasses, and they've shown a lot of promise, especially when Meta rolled out the ability to process images, text, and audio earlier this year. Very, very cool. Your glasses are getting pretty useful. I have a pair. They're great.
Do you still use them, Kane?
I do. They're really cool.
Have you so downloaded all the footage?
I do, and I have a lot of it. It's really good.
Any
it's
proof of anything interesting?
Other than proof of the Dubai
flood.
Flood.
I want to see it.
Yeah, it was
crazy. Can you send it to us? You
know, I can indeed.
Can you mix it up for us?
I can indeed. I got first person perspective.
It'll be like your point of view of the whole situation. Oh,
it
wow.
It was wild.
I'd love to see it. Eh? Dubai hasn't had anything like it since you left.
No.
I don't know what you did over there.
Just
man.
Need to go back one time and everyone's fishing. That is so funny. Okay, so here's the next thing as well. We are taking a look at... Elon Musk had an AI party, apparently.
Oh,
did you hear about that?
No. How?
So here's a look at inside Elon Musk's AI party at OpenAI's old headquarters. At a recruiting party for XAI, Musk laid out his vision to beat closed for maximum profit AI. It had all the makings of a typical recruiting event for a tech startup in San Francisco. There was free food, drinks, and live music generated via code being written in real time.
Yo.
That's cool. That is cool.
Were they doing the robot dance?
I wonder if the drinks and food were also being written in real time. Some Spy Kids stuff. Remember Spy Kids when they put like some, they put something in the microwave? Yep. Like, dee-dee-dee, out came a whole finished burger. But there are also mandatory metal detector screenings, ID checks, and security guards everywhere. It was held by Elon Musk at the original Mission District headquarters of OpenAI, which Musk co-founded before leaving after reportedly failing to take it over, and Musk was there to convince people to join his latest startup, XAI. Very, very interesting. I don't know what we're going to see out of that, but yeah, Musk not letting the AI spotlight go without his own image there. So we must keep an eye on that. And we also have Snoop Dogg, Martha Stewart, and Bic are somehow all involved in a new iPhone case. That's a bit of a weird one to see all of these random people involved in a phone case. Yeah, absolutely. When was the last time you actually heard a song by Snoop Dogg?
Yo, I think... No, I can't remember. Years, man. I'm just hearing all the old stuff.
Really? Eh? Yeah, I haven't heard Snoop's music in...
No.
Ever. I don't even know if he makes music anymore.
Yeah, but didn't he change his name at one stage as well?
Snoop
it
Lion.
Was Snoop Lion or something. Yeah, I thought that was a joke, but it was real.
It was serious.
Yeah.
And he still goes by Snoop Dogg, I think.
Yeah, now it's still Snoop Dogg.
It was just for marketing.
Probably.
So yeah. Snoop Dogg, Martha Stewart, and Bic are somehow all involved in this Bic phone cover mashup. Bic, the company best known for ballpoint pens, razors, and lighters, has just revealed a collaboration that no one could have possibly had on their 2024 bingo cards. It's the new Hold the iPhone case and has a molded cutout on the back to hold one of Bic's Easy Reach lighters. Specifically, those designed by Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg as part of a collaboration with the company. So this is basically a phone cover, okay, that has a cutout in it where you can put your Bic lighter. So when you need a lighter, it's right at the back of your phone.
Hey, that's not bad.
It's not bad at all. And it, obviously the lighter that it comes with is custom designed by Snoop Dogg.
Wow.
And Martha Stewart. The weird thing for me is the Martha Stewart lighter, it's like got some patterns on it and a nice background. It's got a nice foil. It's literally, the Snoop Dogg one is literally a picture of Snoop Dogg in a tux. There's like no art here at all. It's just a picture of Snoop in a tux.
Of course, man, of course.
But what else could you expect exactly from the Snoop Dogg? Each case comes with two matching lighters, which are designed and distinguished from typical disposable lighters by a 1.145-inch long extension, making it easier to light hard-to-reach places. So this basically has like a nozzle on it that makes the lighter like longer. I don't know, I wouldn't buy this lighter, but I mean, if someone gave me a phone case custom designed by Bic and Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg, I mean, I'm not going to say no.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's pretty cool. So yes. That's what the power of tech is being used for today. And then also we have Google. I really didn't think I would see this. Google is testing verified check marks in search. So if you like blue tick Twitter and blue tick Instagram, get ready for blue tick Google.
So we'll just put a little blue tick in the results.
Yeah, so now Google is experimenting with a new feature in search that should make it easier for users to avoid clicking on fake or fraudulent website links.
Okay.
Some people are seeing blue verified check marks beside business links in Google search history that indicate that the company, like Meta or Apple, is genuine and not some copycat attempting to benefit from a recognizable brand. I don't see many of these scams that I would need a blue tick for. I don't see many. There's enough of them that I think there is a victim pool, most definitely, but I don't necessarily see a lot. Do you?
No. But I'm just wondering, do you have to pay for this blue tick? Because on Facebook, you have to pay for your blue tick.
So apparently, you know, someone from Google Public Affairs said, we regularly experiment with features that help shoppers identify trustworthy businesses online. And we were currently running a small experiment showing check marks next to certain businesses on Google. That's very, very interesting. I wonder if we're going to see that roll out. Do you think you would be more likely to trust a Google result because it had a blue tick next to it? Would you just use to, if you were looking for like Telkom, would you just look for the result with the blue tick? I think the latter. For me,
I might use it to
know that I found the place that I'm looking for.
Yeah, because sometimes you like double tick because you get these copies of bank websites, but they never show up on top. Because usually the ones that show up on top are the actual real ones.
Mm.
So that already tells me, you know. And then, I mean, if you're really in doubt, you can just check the website certificate if you know how to. Click on the little green lock and you can see it's the actual website.
Okay, that's very interesting.
Do you sometimes click on the lock, the green lock?
I don't. I must say, I like a lot
of people
tell me
about it. You can see the website certificate.
Yeah, a lot of people tell me about it, but I never do. I never, never do.
Just click on it, Kane.
Is it worth it? I never look at it, but I just don't know how to be secure.
When you're doing those EFTs, bro.
Every time I do something on my computer, Casper's like, no. The other day I went to eBay, and Casper's like, we need to secure your browser.
Oh.
Like, I'm browsing eBay, bro. Like, they're not infiltrating the White House yet.
But usually those antivirus things are a little paranoid.
They are. And they also, they cheat. They try and look so fancy and so tech-orientated by telling you your email's been breached, but they just use, like, free tools to basically... It's like a whole... Don't get me started on it.
Scary.
So apparently, over 2 million prepaid electricity meters will likely become useless in less than 2 months unless Eskom drastically speeds up a critical software update project. Remember that. Do you remember when you had to
have you updated?
Your meter? I have.
But Ken, I had to update twice. I don't know why. I don't know.
What did you do?
I just updated twice.
They think you're scamming them.
No. I got the codes from the actual municipality, and then I recharged normally after that, and then I recharged again, and I got more codes to enter.
Really?
So I've upgraded twice.
You must be on the next upgrade. You don't have to upgrade next time. They're just going to skip your house.
Yeah, but it's actually nice to know that you've been upgraded, and a lot of people, you know, haven't upgraded yet, but you have to, otherwise you're going to have problems buying new vouchers.
So apparently, I mean, they have the rest. So everybody has to do this update. That's the bottom line. Everybody has to implement the update in order to make sure that everything is sharp, you know, everything is good. However, the speed at which Eskom is implementing this update household by to household is not apparently fast enough. So many of these users use these meters might currently be stealing electricity through illegal bypassing. Eskom still needs to update about 2.9 million of its customers' prepaid meters part of the key revision number, KPN rollover, while municipalities have around 600,000 outstanding. I mean, we're talking about 3.5 million South Africans who could potentially just have no electricity. Like, once they're out, they're out. They need to upgrade. They need to get it done. You need someone from the municipality to help you do your upgrade.
And those are quite long codes to punch in, eh?
Yeah, I know. It's not going to happen in 5 seconds.
Yeah, it takes a while.
So from 24 November 2024, all the world's standard transfer specifications, complaint prepaid meters that do not get this update will stop being able to accept new electricity tokens. The issue is... caused by a date-linked security mechanism that counts every minute since 1 January 1993 and will run out of range next month. So it counts every single minute of every single day, and it only has enough to survive for another few months, which I think is crazy. It's actually insane. The reset the base date to 1st January 2014, and meters will only run out of range again in 2045. So that's what the update actually does. I wouldn't have known that. I can't say that I would have known that. I can't say I would have needed that, but it makes a lot of sense. How can you keep entering unique tokens and never just run out of tokens?
Exactly. That's what I always wondered. You know, when we used to buy those scratch cards from Vodacom to enter airtime, always wondered, you know, how do they recycle those tokens?
I mean,
I was always hoping. I remember once I just kind of tried to scramble an old voucher's numbers and to see, you know, if it gives me airtime, maybe I'll use an unused voucher, but no, it didn't work. It actually said the voucher's already been used, so maybe I used a used voucher. So
that's funny.
That didn't work. Anyway, well, it's getting hot in here.
Time for a music break.
Yeah.
Oh, is that the song you're going to play?
Yes.
Yeah.
But seriously, it's getting hot.
It is.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to play
now. You have to find it. Getting hot in here.
I must now find it. Who sings it?
Mariah Carey. She said, no,
yeah. You know it. You know it. You know it.
Where does it even come from, bro?
I don't know. I'll have to go and look for it. I'm creating work for myself here.
I feel like it's Fergie.
Yeah. There's this chick.
Can't be Fergie. Surely not.
Okay. You ready? For the final 10 minutes, eh?
Yes.
It's getting hot in here, and we're talking about all the week's biggest tech stories. We have a couple of minutes left before we wrap it up again for another week. Kane, what is next?
You know what else might raise your internal temperature with a bit of stress? Apparently, Google rolled out ads in its new AI-powered search overviews today, but it doesn't appear the system is any better at understanding what is ads actually saying. As flagged on Threads, it suggests turning off the forward collision avoidance feature on the Kia Telluride by disabling electronic stability control, which is a dangerous idea for most drivers. The AI overview appears to be getting this idea from a caution notice in the Kia EV6 manual, which, well, there's a reason Google CEO Sundar Pichai said if he thought the language was the same on intelligence, then AI would be would be amazing. But essentially, this thing is telling you to turn off your safety features. Don't turn off stability control just because AI told you to. Now, I see there seems to be a rattling in my front wheel. Like, you could remove your safety control. You know, traction control, you don't really need that. You can get rid of that, you know. Get rid of your... Don't worry about changing your brakes. It's all good. So don't take Google's word for it. If Google tells you to do something, remember when it told, like, we were taking a look at some users that were searching up some search terms, you know, a few months ago, and they'd searched Google, hey Google, you know, the cheese on my pizza keeps falling off, how do I keep it, how can I better make sure that my pizza, you know, cheese doesn't fall off? And it's like, we would recommend wood glue. We advise you look for non-toxic wood glue.
No,
Like, wow, that's AI not doing its job properly.
It's still learning.
And then in other news as well, we have a few other things. I mean, crypto is getting pretty interesting at the moment, especially in the US. We see Trump launching his own cryptocurrency exchange. It's pretty wild. CZ Binance has been arrested in the US. Sam Altman, Bankman-Fried, you know, he's also... Well, Sam Bankman, he's in a bit of a tight squeeze. But FTX seems to be coming back. That's the crazy thing. It doesn't seem like they're disappearing. So definitely worth keeping an eye open for what's happening on the crypto side of the world these days. And apparently a WordPress. Do you know what WordPress is?
Bro, my website's running on WordPress.
Come on.
I use it every day, man. I'm fluent in WordPress.
I know English, Afrikaans, and WordPress.
Yeah. Netswer.
So WordPress co-founder is paying employees to leave if they disagree with him. Automatic CEO Matt Mullerweg offered the greater of $30,000 or 6 months of salary to employees who didn't support his fight against WordPress engine. So apparently the CEO offered employees this $30,000 or 6 months of salary, whichever is higher, to leave the company if they didn't agree with his battle against WordPress engine in an update on Thursday night. He went on to say that 159 people making up 8.4% of the company took the offer. Imagine that. Would you, if you got offered to leave your job and you got paid 6 months salary up front, but you really liked your job, would you do it?
Maybe, because then I can finally take a holiday. Would you?
I think the holiday fantasy definitely makes you want to make the decision faster.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't
what
know.
About you?
I mean, if I got offered it, I think I would do it. It's very hard to get 6 months salary up front. It's half a year's worth of money.
It is. And also, it's a good excuse to, you know...
So there you go. If you can
go on holiday.
Well, if you can go and get yourself a job at WordPress in the next short period, you might as well be able to take part in that. I mean, $30,000 for one person is a lot of money, eh?
It is. Jeez.
I mean, that's like $5,000 a month.
That's brilliant.
These guys get paid too much. That's exactly what my takeaway from that is. $5,000 a month. That's
no,
crazy.
No, it's crazy.
And then also, we're taking a look at the best phone in 2024. Are you upgrading your phone this year, or are you going to do it for next year?
Next year.
Really?
And you?
Well, I don't think I'll be... I upgraded my phone this year, and then iOS decided not to give me the AI update, so I don't think I'm going to... I might, but I don't think I will. So the best phone to buy right now, would you go flip phone?
No.
Really?
No, would you? Not flip.
I really want to try it, but I just want to try it because I don't like how big a phone is. I feel like a folded phone would fit so much better in my pocket I'm running and jogging. And
yeah, for you, yeah.
The other day, I quickly sprinted with my dog, and my phone was in this part of the garden, and my keys were in that part of the garden.
What?
They just fly out of my pocket.
No, man.
So I thought, sure, if I get a folded phone, I could actually fold it in the pocket. It could, like, fold it onto the pocket. It could hold on like a clothes hanger, you know? But other than that, I mean, I do like the idea of a smaller form phone. I like the tri-fold
good
one
point.
More,
yeah.
though. The one that turns into a tablet. You can unfold it three ways.
Is that the brochure one?
I think I would go for that.
Okay.
You know, I would,
I'm not so
if
sure.
If it was seamless transition to a tablet. In fact, I would wait for the future to come where I could just pull the sides of my phone into a tablet or push the sides of my phone back into a phone. You know, I think that would be... the winner for me. But apparently, some of the best phones this year is like the iPhone 16. Naturally, it's like one of the brand new phones.
Yeah.
The Google Pixel 9, which you don't actually see many Google Pixels here in South Africa.
No, I've never seen someone with a phone like that.
I've never even seen one in a store in South Africa.
Yeah, I've never seen a real one. True story, yeah.
My friends, I have a few friends that have it.
Oh,
it was
wow.
So interesting. When I was in Dubai, one of the guys I was there with had it. And you take a picture, and it doesn't look that good. Like, it arguably doesn't look good at all.
Oh, my
but
word.
But 2 or 3 seconds after you take it, AI makes it all better. And then it looks insane.
Enhances it. Okay.
But it literally, wow. You take a photo, and it looks like very mediocre.
Yeah,
it just looks insane after
wow,
it just processes.
Like a little
brain.
Magic wand, yeah.
A little magic wand.
Okay.
And then another one of the phones would be something like the Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. That comes out with 12 gigs of RAM now. Dude, how crazy that is.
Wow, you can never go wrong with a Samsung phone, I think.
You can't. I actually miss my old Samsung, if I'm
fair. I still have a Samsung phone, man.
Really, eh?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it, eh?
No, definitely not.
It's a good phone.
It doesn't overheat, you know.
And then the best professional high-end phone is going to be something like the iPhone 16 Pro. It's got some great cameras,
ooh, yeah.
Good displays.
Beautiful. It's also beautiful. Very nice to look at.
Oh, they do make good-looking phones.
Very, right? very sophisticated.
The phones are so good-looking. They're so expensive that you just have to put a cover on and ruin that look immediately.
Yeah, that's
so if you want looks or protection.
And exactly.
I always find myself going for protection.
Yeah.
And it's always one of those thick, tough phone covers, you know, like that will protect it from a Titanic iceberg collision. You know, that's what I always find.
Yeah, but it takes away the beauty of it. It's true. You know, those ones are so sleek and sophisticated and modern and just...
The best
posh.
Flip phone was rated as the Galaxy Z Flip 6, which is actually a pretty expensive phone. It's about 25,000 rand. It's like, whoa, pretty expensive. And then we also have the Pixel 9 Pro Fold. So the flip phones, they fold vertically. You know, they fold in half. Their height becomes half.
Yes.
But the other folding phones, they fold horizontally. They become twice their width.
Width, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the
yeah.
one just becomes half the height, but the other one becomes double the width.
Uh-huh.
So they're two different types of folds.
Oh, I didn't even
and
know.
And that type of fold, the popular phone there for that middle parting fold, the one that makes the phone wider, is in fact the Pixel 9 Fold, which is quite a lot more expensive than the Galaxy Flip. So I think phones that horizontally fold are actually more expensive. In fact, my dad had one of those phones way back when.
Really?
In the old days. You know those old brick, look like a Nokia. Outside it's a Nokia. It folds open. It looks like a Game Boy.
Oh, yes.
Remember those? People used to wear it in the bolts.
But all the businessmen had those phones.
Yeah, it was the bolts.
Yeah.
Where it just slid into the bolts.
I remember it so well. Good
that
memories.
A,
good
and
memories.
They'd just sit there like typing on it. And it had
yep.
buttons, like the actual
BlackBerry
keyboard
yep.
buttons on it.
I miss it.
Oh, man.
It's not the same typing on the screen,
it's not
man.
The same playing Snake without the...
Yeah, I miss my buttons. I like pushing buttons. It's not the same when you push the buttons on the screen, man.
Speaking of pushing buttons, is it time to push the button to end the show?
Yeah, I gotta push the music back up so we can get out of here. Okay, now, thank you so much. Another great show. And look out for those solo flares, eh? When you're on your way out.
Absolutely. Gonna keep my eye open for some geomagnetic storms.
Hopefully you'll make it back.
If we're not here next week, you know what happened. The storm's got us.
Kane, thanks so much. Have a lekker weekend. Enjoy the sunshine.
Thank you so much for everyone listening. We'll see you same time, same place next week.
Absolutely. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
This podcast was brought to you by eRadio. For more podcasts, check out our website on eradiosa.com or through the eRadio SA app from the Google Play Store.